Also.
The main discussion, okay.
Okay.
Well, you know, you showed me Rokyo Fumhe and Dukes Moriduru, that's just because I was born in Java, grew up in Kamikawa. And English is, of course, my first language. The first poet I ever knew really was our postman, and he used to, in the country of Tarno, and he used to compose like the 18th century poets did and the 19th century poets did, and things going on in the countryside. And I remember once he composed a poem about two ladies who had a shop and they had a dance and some people were invited and other people were ignored. And he wrote a humorous poem about that event. And the instructed solicitors and tried to suppress the poems, but then the poor people had learned the poem by heart and so the poem was gone. And that was my first experience of poetry in that sense. When I started writing, first of all, I wrote in English and Irish. And then gradually, I stopped writing in English for the purpose of poetry and continued to write in Irish. And the reason for that was really that people came after me looking for poems. The first one was Ivana Murphy, who lives in Dunqueen now, but who was editor of FASTA then, and that's where I published some of my first poems in Irish. I published poems in English and Irish with a friend of college, Clayton Murphy, who edited one of those early sort of handouts of the magazines, and I published in Irish and English there. But after writing in FAST for a while, then when Inchi was set up, Michael Davitt came after with the poems, so I published there. And Pádraig Snobby started publishing me and still does. And Dave Vaughan still edits all my books of poetry. He's a very good critic because he looks at them very carefully and very critically. So, you know, I trust in him not to let me go too far wrong. I gather here that most people don't understand Irish in a fluent sense. So, in England, when I read, I often provide translations in English. And what I've done is I've chosen some of the poems that I recite often to give some idea of the range of poems I write. And I've used some of the ones for which I have knocked together English translations, but it's the Irish I enjoy writing and using. And on the English translation of things which were literally knocked together, I mean, not always, I wouldn't stand over them, you know, except they're there to try and give people an idea of what's going on, because there's slightly poems in Irish and English people, they're not going to know, it's all sounds to them, and what it means, and I did put in the translations for that reason. So I'm going to try and balance a few bits of paper here, I may get them all mixed up, or whatever, but we'll start out about the travel, hopefully, and I'll read for about half an hour or so. But if it's all walked out, I'll sit down and have a drink. Okay. Now, I've numbered these very carefully, but I'm a sort of a Houdini with pieces of paper. I can just make them disappear like nobody's business. So we're allowing it, as the man said. Okay, because you see, I've got the English translations on bits of paper here, and I'm going to read the ones from the book, which I hope haven't got too many mistakes in them. Now, this is not an original poem at all. It's a poem from Berber, and it's came to me through French. And I'll read you a translation of it first of all, and then I'll read it to itself. It's about really being away from your own place and your own people. The peaks of the high mountains lie between me and my dear friends. Is not the road long and dangerous if their help were required? But God makes smooth the way before me so that I may feast my eyes upon those true friends who regularly ask for news of me. That way my sickness will be cured without the use of medicines and spells. Yana Ardan Schneite, the Vicious Mahardi Luna, Nak Father Mordul and Bober, and the Afadalit Tastor, Raising and Ballot of a year, the Lady Melon of Ahul, a Wintas Macardi Dilsha, a Hurin Mahulish for Realta, Marshin and Yais for the Hinnis, and Usard Kobish no Arfa. No clap over at each one, or else I'll read when you don't like them, you won't clap. Okay. This is one I wrote. It was about something that happened really when I was quite small, and one snowy winter, and I sort of use it for, as a sort of a metaphor here, for trying to write poems. And it was in Dublin, there was a big snow, and we were out, and people went out, and were sliding down the slopes up by the magazine for the Phoenix Park. And I got very nervous and slipped on the ice there, and lost my balance. So I'll read you just a translation first of all. Putting pen to paper, that is to be again attempting to keep upright on the slope of the magazine fold, that winter of the snowmen, when vertigo took my feet from under me on that slippery mirror of ice. I'm always still surprised when I succeed, and the balance and graceful moves of the stager are sometimes achieved. So that's a combination of trying to keep your balance and trying to write poetry. It's number two poetry. Yeah. Pianna Horna Paar. Shinabehin Ahur, the ear in a cusset of Kimyon Fool, her flask make boon harmony, Hebrew Uden Varshnakta, the Sinyaurani Bunts in a Gustian, her Skahon Schnaun, the Lika Aira. Winter get us and revealed, nor the Ivy in Young, Kotterma is Glusha Cross Fool, and Slaun Dora, a Aimshu, or War Bachela. And the next one a couple of things I suppose you'd call them little lyrics. Martin O'Kine described the writing, he used to call them lyrically never hard, you know, harmless little lyrics. And he obviously thought that all the effort that went into writing his short stories and novels was much more than he thought was much too much poetry and not enough prose with Wayne Ireland. But anyway, so a few little lyrics. This one is called Winter of the Spirit. And this is what it says. The countryside laid out in a white shroud, the cold that gnaws the flesh, dark skeletons hiding on the horizon, a lake under iron hard ice that I cannot break to reach the fresh water beneath. Deidre Anmacher. Tiershin Tinabi Thorn, Thorpe the Chairman of Joel, Tranacha Dua, or Crocha, and Inos Bear. The Horn, Twee, Iyer, Eerie, Crua, Nach Nairin, Dilma, Risha, and Tat, Eran, Eerishka. And the next one is named after the meeting of the waters down near Avoca in County Wicklow, not too far from where I grew up in the countryside. And it says something like this: Avonmore and Avonville, that's the two rivers, rising up in the mountains and then coming together here on down to wherever they park from, wherever they flow into the sea. Avonmore and Avonville, joyful is their meeting after the long or easy journey. Augmented flow of murmuring waters flowing languidly through grassland, dappled bright reflections of sky and margin. I walk with you at nightfall in another land, your hand in mine, the stream's musical murmur in our ears. Korak and Daw Ishke. Awen Pio, the Salvan Poor, Yonder of the Japta Kiel, Teresh and Ashtar, Korik Eam, Shromedehe, Nishti Cholva, a Walpu Shot, Tri Halti Bona, Ratskor Nena, Spearis Ruach, Shulam Yatsa, the Titan Ita, Bidir Ele, the Lord and Lordship, Mulur Chova, Shrapna, nor Clusa. And it was one of the poems that I wrote, which Mortimer de Rohan, the great Ireland poet, liked very much as a type of lyric. It was one of the ones he could understand what I was writing about. A lot of them passed him by. Yes, and here's another one. This is Gabriel Rosenstock, once edited a magazine which was published in America, and Irish and English. And he asked me for a poem once, and this is the ones I did try and put a bit of effort into the translation because it was going to be published. And it's Hoarfrost. And I was living in the north of England at that time, where the cold comes across, right across the flatlands of northern Europe from Siberia. It can get horribly cold up there, much more in the south of England. For 3 whole days, the hoarfrost has lain thick on the north face of my garden wall, and every dead stalk and dormant branch out there, beneath its enveloping white robe, has been transformed into a slender, glittering, cold-hearted ice maiden. Fondly a freezing frog by day, at night the silver-crowed smile of the moon, the wish of my heart to escape southwards from the winter wilderness of loss, of loss, in the path of the migrating birds, in the direction of the sun. Krishna. Let 3 knowledge from Krishna Gleebhachov, Aredan Puli Fan Mahardi, Mr. Das Marath is Prayer Puma Kumwe, Queen of Alim Naha, in Puda Bona, Africa in Gaur Bay, Shiva, Kurkusha, Hak, Noin Duk Joe, Hakka Sono. Spite in mind the four parigit galway, be me McCree, in o yas, from Bossa, Ablesha, Evil Shah, Barbalak the name in Merkin, he drew the grain. Now this, the next one is about an owl. And we were driving back from York to Burlington, where I lived on the coast for many years, and we were coming up a big hill called Garraby Hill, and just at the top we saw a bird flying, and it was dusk, and it was a bird flying, and we stopped to see what sort of a bird it was, and in fact it was an owl. And it was a owl who could pounce on an animal, on a little mouse or something like that on the side of the road. And we shone the lights out and just looked us straight to the eyes, as it were. And this is a poem about that. And this is what it says. You'd never guess it was a bird of prey, flying languidly, ghost-like in the dusk above the grass verge. Then like a flash he struck, and when we fixed the headlights on, he turned his head disdainfully, fixing those big, unflinching, wide-open eyes upon us, contemptuous of our audacity. Then he resumed his work with beak and claw, before rising, just when it suited him, the destroyer clutching his prey. And so it's a poem about the owl as he was there. But in the book in which it's published, it appears between a series of poems about arising out of American foreign policy in South America. And so the owl is also an image of American foreign policy as enacted, in a sense, as a metaphor for that, as well as being a poem about this magnificent bird. On top of all, the Chapover being Trecheni was an etis for Dawdish and Queen, a Gathaitian of Sablapos. Was killed in bone in ball. On shin, the hurt, crunchy around here. We were in Urium or Sight and Poyer, Fascia town the Sopala, Pidiru or in Unwicker, the Sula Mura and Yah, the Kasa or Nawan of the Ming. as Judah reached in to one bright as Croatia, the fiery earth of Roma, and Jared he brought up and steamed it. Now in the third book I wrote, there are quite a lot of poems about Irish politics in it, as well as poems about other things. And one of those poems was a poem for James Connolly, the Irish Marxist and Socialist leader, who was executed in 1916. And this is Seamus O'Connell. And what it says is, we recognised the green uniformed hero who met cruel death because he fought for freedom. Briefly left in the dark concerning the evangelist of the red gospel who revealed the hidden foundations of the marble halls in which our tackling played for bewitching harp music. So it's about the ideology of nationalism as well as engagement with socialism. That me were a layup, we made a flask, a four and voice, a son of Messias, a fogu government, Evan Kay, a scoff on such being that jarred, a reef to the holy kelt, the holy born, in a pass or battery, after Malta quit. And the next point is, it's called The Scar, and it's a poem that sort of wrote itself, because I can't remember where it started, but once I started it, it sort of brought itself. You know, sometimes you labour over a poem and you hack it, it's like being a sculptor or something, but you're always knocking bits out of it, twisting it around or adding and taking from. But this was a poem, I really didn't know where I was going. I started and it brought me along to a conclusion. And it's something about the psychology of our personality or something like that. So the scar. This is not a good translation. But it just says roughly what's there. A stone is thrown in the pond. The blow's reverberation spreads from centre to margin. The hurt and the cause of the hurt are now part of the pond, although that would be hard to deduce from the still surface of the water. On colour, Cotton Club, Surakor, Lahan, Makari, Willa, Odor, Bakina, is quenched in the fallen dish, and Burton is based a Burton, came a big for shin, the floor, the rota, on Ishtar. This is called sexual. Well, it's called Fresh and it's sexual intercourse in Kildare Workhouse, and when I was at the university, a friend of mine's brother found a whole lot of the records of Kildare workhouse. And this was a conception which took place in the workhouse, where of course the men were separated from the women, and they did an investigation of this, how it could happen, with all the precautions they taken against it. You know, great effort made to, you know, those dismal, awful situations that they could only conclude it happened through a gateway or some of the opportunities presented themselves. But anyway. So here we are. So sexually, of course, in the workhouse says, the grey walls of the grey structure are hard as the granite parts that fix the yoke on the poor, but even high walls and locked gates could suppress that pair who Bullen of Quiggillet is saying in Irish, it's dashed churning, and who dashed churned in the face of misfortune through iron bars intended to separate. Fresh curry. I used love in a poem once, and Martino de Ron said to me, he said, "You're not talking about love at all. You're not talking about that at all. Why don't you use fresh curry?" Which is a celebration of the poem. And so, it's a lovely phrase, it's a lovely terminology. But one wouldn't always have thought that Martin of the Owen would make those distinctions, which is very good. I'm very grateful to him. So, fish could be gathered up to them. Bonny Lita on Urgwyd Bwyd, Mor y Grif y Eir o'r Siwn, a Chaimwyd o'n Sraha ar y Mwc, a Fyw Bonny Orde yn Sgatau Fyw Glas, Gatau Fyw Sgatau Fyw Glas, i Eir o Ddysg o'n Gert y Chlyn, a Rwyl o'r Cwege yn Eir o'n Hanys, i Gerol o'r Eir o'n Ysgarch. Now, this one it was a friend of mine. I wrote it. It's in an army, a wedding poem, and I wrote it for his third marriage, and put it into a competition in Dunleary, and I won £125. So I felt good about that. But it's a sort of a tongue-in-cheek it's a sort of tongue-in-cheek. But anyway, here's the English translation. Setting out on a journey, one boards a train or aeroplane, one puts to sea, hopefully, the heart speaks a bit. Leaving the old place can only bring one closer to a charming new abode, and hopes always for that extra twist of the road, that fresh exit, the first call of the problem, that view from the new bedroom, that fresh experience. A practiced traveller becomes wiser in ways of journey, less baggage, lowering expectation. He or she gets used to that familiar stranger who always doubts their ease. What makes them unwell? Occasionally they even succeed in coming to terms with death. But sometimes, almost by accident, one succeeds in reaching the promised land and setting foot in that authentic place of joy. Now, there's a beautiful phrase in Father Green's dictionary, which I discovered by some chance, and I translated that authentic place of joy. and so I commandeered it. But it's too short here. So may it be with you, dear friend, and may the bold cherub of love and mischief hit the bull's eye this time. So, in Tusno or Ashley, Yacht or Cuss are both trail of noise long, further not than quarry for those. By lean and creep, and shan call you straight, she shot in your off, the lords of blood to moon. These are extremely bony, a cuss aggression from bone, like kid, player, and poeta, a shan royal holy look and tone, and new yacht, a shan tappy fool. I read on Tashley Creator, his creator, he will ask her. He slew up a gosher, my loop her on those. I read Sheshin, no Shisha, Kiapa, her in Strongshire and Dooley, a Yanin and Forest Taylor in the Gantry Gold, a curtain of Wahi for me. Worn to Ivy in the few, top and weight of flesh. The psalm of the good for Tashley, the end of tear. Tarring breath, winter moth, this life for cuss, their ear old on feet. From a hay shim ditch, a horror unwin, is the moon of summer, dawn on yellow, is the yush bishop, soon it was speaking on the ear shop. Now I want to read just a few poems from my book, just a few poems, literally three short ones, from the last book of poems I published. The Death of Lord Edward Fitzgerald. When I was a kid, I could read, when I was quite small, I was read too. And I knew that Major Sora was after Lord Edward Fitzgerald, but my concept of time was a bit out of kilter. And so I sat down and wrote a letter to Lord Edward Fitzgerald telling him that this man was after and he'd better just get out of the way. But it was right too late, so to say. The moment I understood from the history book I read, or that was read to me, that Major Searle was hot in his track, I found pencil and paper and wrote urgently, laboriously, a letter to Fitzgerald informing him of the danger and urging him to escape without delay. But my effort was in vain. The distance between 1946 and 1798 was far too great for my letter to meet Richard, so the hero of the gratitude was slain. On the old Madeira, or how it hit me, on the Aristara and Aethne, knowing that you were near home, or on where Sir Satoria, and she would carry Louis, or Bale, and the Sprius Prehova, is for the effort, Richard von Yalta, if me were going to stay, if Tahut, there, Bale, on way. But be my favour in Ashgard, then, barn it and dirt, me the me gave Tarkus a shay, but me the shop gave Lopus a hook, the bottle of Yahan, for the fish of number 39, Sparseal and Ray, and Craig Dawn. And this. I was thinking really of my grandfather's world here and my own world and what had changed in a sense between the two times. And it's called Spiritual Exercises. That was the famous book that St. Ignatius Loyola wrote about correct Christian meditation. And it goes like this, because my grandfather did this. My grandfather climbed the mountain to see the sun rise early on Sunday Easter morning, and saw it dance joyfully upon the water, celebrating the resurrection of the Saviour. But I was struck by vertigo and the slope of Crook Park, which prevented me reaching the summit, just as it struck me long ago as I lay on my back in our meadow, looking outwards into the blue abyss of infinity. Chapter for the daughter. When we can utter and sleep the laughter, and write up all our Irene brain from what might be possible, but as humbly it doubts from the maid of Aramishke, the Chalura Ashaibi and Fallen Hold. But moon and Melrond, her valor brought forward, a bath foreign and bore freshened, while moon for down, dismay of what the plumber, Savonia Chabunia, a grand when the lark, is death suffering for the being of Chola. Shemay.